Timirandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Gena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutha Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyate Shatarine
It is truly a great honor and blessing in my life that you have invited me to be with you today. Thank you, Mukunda Madhava Prabhu, for your very gracious introduction. Thank you, Brajahari Prabhu, for opening the doors to Shishiradha Rasbihari Temple for this little servant, Radhanath. And thank you to all of you who have come today. In the Western world, there is not so much significance to the day January 26th. It's not on our Vaishnav calendar, but it is a national holiday. And I'm just meditating at this moment how significant it is, especially this year. January 26, 1930. The country of India publicly and officially declared independence from the British Empire. This was quite historic, because for many, many centuries, over India was under the Mughal rule, and essentially the British conquered the Mughals and took India for themselves, and India was under British rule. It was a colony. It was simply, from the world's perspective, India was simply a British colony for approximately 200 years. That means practically for the entire time America has now been independent from the British, from that time till today, it's almost the same amount of time that India was a British colony. And on January 26, 1930, there was a certain courage from the Indian perspective and audacity from the British perspective, where I believe India hoisted their own flag. And it was their declaration of independence. And 20 years later, in 1950, India had its constitution prepared. It had attained independence, and the new government of Free India established the Constitution on this day, January 26th, the anniversary of their declaration of independence. Why I'm explaining this is it gives such a context to the importance of 2022. Because this is the year of the 100th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada receiving the instruction from his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, to take the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English language all over the world. As far as I know, we don't have a specific date in 1922 when our beloved Srila Prabhupada first met his Guru Maharaj in Calcutta. And in one sense, this is special because we don't have a specific date that this meeting took place. We only have the year. So we are at liberty to celebrate it every day of the year. All we do have is the year. So every day and any day is good, is as good as any other day to celebrate this historical event. When the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness first met his Guru Maharaj. And it's also very, very special because this year, that very same premise where the meeting took place in a congested neighborhood of Calcutta, the address was 1 Ultadunga Junction Road. The history of this place is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was doing tapasya in Mayapur Dham. And after Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhakti Vinod Thakur had both disappeared from this world, he was meditating. He was writing with the inspiration to take his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya's message to the whole world. He only had a few followers. And they suggested, let us go to Calcutta. Because actually, I believe at the time, Calcutta was the capital of India under the British regime. It was for a long time. And it was the most international city in all of India. They didn't have any funds. They hardly had any contacts in Calcutta. But they rented this small building on Ultadungi Junction Road. It was a rented premise. And it's there that the preaching really was established. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and his handful of followers, there were only three or four people living in that building with him at the time. It's a one-story building, a ground floor with a rooftop. And on the rooftop, there was a little kutir where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur resided. And when it wasn't the rainy season, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would give his lectures on the rooftop. Very quickly, some of the most qualified people in the entire planet were coming to take shelter of the message of Lord Chaitanya from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Interesting, in 1896, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he established the outreach of Lord Chaitanya through literature, through book distribution in the West, by sending his book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya's Life and Teachings, to various universities and colleges in the West, including McGill University in Canada. And that was the year that Srila Prabhupada took birth, in 1896. Srila Prabhupada tells the story so many times. Of all stories that Srila Prabhupada would tell in his personal life, this is the one that he spoke of the most, his first meeting with his Guru Maharaj. Usually on the appearance day of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, on the disappearance day, almost every year he would tell the story. And many times in between, in personal conversations and lectures. Srila Prabhupada tells that from his earliest childhood, he would see his mother and father worshiping the deities of Radha and Krishna. They were very devout followers of Lord Chaitanya's message. And Gaur Mohan Day, he would invite sadhus on a regular basis to have prasad at their house, especially to give an example to their little child, whose name was Abhay Charan, one who finds shelter in the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and becomes fearless. And as we know, children, they often see and feel more than they hear when they're very small. And it's important that what children hear from their parents, it's reconfirmed by what they see, then real confidence is established. Not only in their faith in the message, but in their own disposition of life, consistency. So not only did Gaurabai wake up every morning to see the Mangal Arati being performed by the mother and father, the facilitation of Ratha Yatra in the neighborhood, but on a regular basis they would invite sadhus, because it's just so important, the principle of worshiping the saints as an integral part of our approach to the Supreme Lord. Mat bhakta pujapyadika. Krishna tells, worship of my devotees is more dear to me than worshiping me. This is the continuous message in our Vaishnava literatures, the importance of being a servant of the servant. So Srila Prabhupada would see, he didn't bring in politicians. He didn't bring in academic scholars. His father did and mother did not bring in to their house for dinners wealthy industrialists. Brought sadhus. People who were dedicating their lives. And many of these people, they may not have been dedicating their lives, but they were representing, in the role of sadhus, representing those who had made devotion to God the sole purpose of their existence. They would feed and give gifts to their soul, full satisfaction, and Abhai would always help them. He would just be doing menial service. And at the end of it all, when the night concluded, Gaur Mohan Day would request all the sadhus, please bless our son Abhai Charan to be a devotee of Srimati Radharani. This is the values in which he grew up. But in this world, Srila Prabhupada explained, he saw a lot of hypocrisy, a lot of inconsistencies, and a lot of oppression and suffering. And when he became young, he was married, a young man, had a child, and he was very, very devout in Mahatma Gandhi's freedom movement. In those days, to wear a khadi dhoti, that means hand-spun cloth, to wear cloth like that was a powerful political statement of rebellion. It was like a flag. Here is the British Empire. They have their soldiers everywhere. They run the police force. They run the educational system. They run the entire nation. To wear khadi was a public statement. We want the British out. We want independence. Now we have seen throughout the history of the world and very much during our modern history how governments have quelled their colonies or their states from these movements of independence. Generally, they bring in military. There's violence, there's oppression, there's persecution, there's death, sometimes battles. It's happened all over the world. It's so much a part of history. We're a part of a nation wants independence. And the way the government deals with it. Srila Prabhupada refused to accept his college degree on the basis of not participating with the British because the educational system was under their control. So here it is, it's 1922. This is 8 years before India established its Declaration of Independence. That took place in 1930. There was a growing movement in 1922. And people like Abhay Charan were against all odds, but were willing to put down their lives for the independence of their country. One day, one of the days during this year, Srila Prabhupada was walking down a street in Calcutta with his friend Narendra Malik. They were lifelong friends. And Narendra, he said, "I have met a very good sadhu. Let us go to see him. He's giving a lecture tonight." And Srila Prabhupada, he said, I have met so many sadhus. All my life I've been seeing. There is so much to not respect in the way they live. I have no interest." Narendra said, "No, this man is different. He's for real. Please come." Srila Prabhupada refused. And Narendra was actually pulling him on the street. And passersby were seeing, "What is this happening? Two friends are pulling each other." And Srila Prabhupada said, "All right, I will come." He did it just to please his friend. And they came to this historic place, this little rented house on Ultadungi Junction Road. They were welcomed at the door. They walked up the steps onto the roof. On this rooftop, there was the shade of a jackfruit tree. It's interesting because Srila Prabhupada took birth under a jackfruit tree in Calcutta. And now there was another jackfruit tree. And under that jackfruit tree, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura was giving a lecture from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And some of the brahmacharis of the mat, the Gaudiya mat, they brought Narendra and Abhay to sit close to their guru. There was only a few people sitting there on the rooftop. And according to tradition, Srila Prabhupada and his friend bowed down. And while they were still bowed down, just coming up, before any introduction was made, perhaps before he even really saw his guru, he heard with such deep conviction and inner force an instruction. You are educated, young man. You should take this message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the whole world in the English language. This was a lifetime mission he was being given. Srila Prabhupada looked up at Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. He was deeply impressed, he explained. But he revealed his mind. And the conversation that took place between our Srila Prabhupada and his Guru Maharaj is so relevant to January 26th, to today. In India, January 26th represents the declaration of independence and the establishment of an independent country. Freedom. How people have given their lives and sacrificed everything for various levels of freedom. Srila Prabhupada inquired, how is it that you expect people all over the world to take serious Lord Chaitanya's teachings if India is a British colony? You want to establish the greatness of India's teachings when we are simply a part of England? First, we need independence. We need freedom. Like today and like always, when there's political turmoil, people consider religion or spirituality somewhat of a luxury, that the immediate need is for political solution. What Srila Prabhupada was speaking was what practically all of the people of India were thinking. The most educated minds in the country, including Gandhi himself, were posing that same argument through Srila Prabhupada's mouth. Let us first get independence. Let us first declare our independence and achieve it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he replied that the eternal nature of the soul is we are part and parcel of Krishna. We are eternal servants of Krishna. We are not these bodies. The body is subject to birth, old age, disease, and death. And these are the real problems of life. To become free from birth, old age, disease, and death. To be freed from the disease of ignorance. This is the eternal and most important need always. Whoever is in political power, whatever the political or social condition may be, it doesn't change the truth. In a short course of time, everyone must die. Freedom is to liberate the soul from the clutches of suffering and death. Whoever is in power, birth, old age, disease, and death and suffering will take place. And there will always be argumentation in the name of nationalism and politics. But we are not these bodies. The real solution to all the problems is to be conscious of our relationship with God or Krishna consciousness. It cannot wait. It is the need of the world. It has always been. It will always be. Srila Prabhupada sometimes with tears of joy in his eyes, even decades later, he would say, I am happy to tell you that I was defeated by my Guru Maharaj. It was at that moment, on that rooftop, in the year 1922, that Srila Prabhupada accepted Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada as his Guru Maharaj. And he took that message to take Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the whole world as his life and soul. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, biologically, he took birth under a jackfruit tree. And spiritually, he accepted birth from his spiritual master. And the Hare Krishna movement actually was conceived in the year 1922. And it's so interesting because this year, for the first time, we're developing and have a beautiful space under the jackfruit tree at Srila Prabhupada's birthplace. And this year, on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, February 21st, less than a month from now, there will be the inauguration of ISKCON Center at Ulta Dungi Junction Road. It's taken over a year to renovate that place. Just last year we got possession of the whole building and it was completely dilapidated. Literally, it took weeks just to get all the garbage out of the place, truckloads and truckloads of garbage. It was so neglected. And our devotees in Calcutta, under Dai Ram Prabhu, Radharaman Prabhu, Ananga Mohan Prabhu, these wonderful devotees, they have been restoring through practically 24-hour-a-day marathons of construction, restoring this building to its original glory. One devotee, I believe his name is Sundar Gopal Prabhu, he did research of getting photos and documentation of what it was like when Srila Prabhupada met his Guru Maharaj there. And they're trying to restore it just like that. What is independence? What is freedom? That connection is so much a part of Srila Prabhupada's mission. The kindness, the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His teachings, his life, and the legacy of all of his followers was to break through all sectarian, mundane prejudices and establish the eternal glory of the soul in the heart of every living being. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kapunoi Sravanadi Sudhichiti Kori Yeyudai. The potential to love Krishna is within the heart of everyone. Krishna's unlimited love is eternally upon everyone. Krishna consciousness is simply, as Srila Prabhupada explains, it's just recognizing who we are and who we've always been. It's the original consciousness of all beings. We're all seeking pleasure. We're all seeking freedom from pain for ourselves and our loved ones. And the realization of that is in experiencing the pleasure of Krishna's love and feeling the eternal freedom of the soul. Srila Prabhupada even cited Socrates when he was in prison, and they decided to execute him. They brought him poison and told him to drink it. And Socrates said, "Before you can kill me, first you have to find me." Now, for the person who is giving him the poison, what do you mean, find you? You're in these little walls of a prison cell, and I have total control over you, and you're saying you have to find me? But he was speaking from that liberated condition, that the soul is never bound by these material considerations. The soul is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of happiness. But we have forgotten. When Srila Prabhupada was asked by one reporter, "Why have you come to our country? We have our religions." Srila Prabhupada has said, "I have simply come to teach you what you have forgotten." What is God's love? What is the eternal nature of the soul as part and parcel of God? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established his teachings to Sanatana Goswami on the basis of a simple statement. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. We're eternal servants of Krishna. When we understand what it means to be an eternal servant of Krishna, the doors to the highest liberation, pleasure, and love are opened. Because it's in our service to God that we realize Krishna's love, Sri Radha's love. It is in our service to God that we realize our innate potential to love Krishna. And it is in that state of consciousness beyond birth and death that we can be instrument of Krishna's kindness. It was this message that was established on the rooftop of Ultadungi Junction Road. Srila Prabhupada explained at the time he had just been married. He had a job. He had a young child, his firstborn son. And to represent his Guru Maharaj, who he accepted in his heart, he understood he needed to be exemplary. It's interesting because soon after this, Srila Prabhupada's employer, Mr. Bose, saw that Srila Prabhupada wanted independence from his job too. So he said, yes, you can have independence, go to Prayag, which happens to be at the time considered one of the holiest of all holy places in India. Prayag happens to be the place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami. The connections are so sweet and unbelievably wonderful. Because when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Srila Rupa Goswami at Prayag, he established Rupa Goswami soon after as the founder acharya of our sampradaya. He's our sampradaya acharya. That's where Srila Prabhupada started his Prayag pharmacy. And very soon after, there was a Kumbh Mela that was taking place at Prayag. It's the place where the Ganga, Yamuna, and Saraswati rivers meet. And some of Srila Prabhupada's beloved godbrothers from the Gaudiya Math had just started a branch there. And they came to the Prayag pharmacy to seek his help. And that's where that connection was made. Srila Prabhupada went to Vrindavan, where he heard his Guru Maharaj speak in Koshi. And soon after that, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to Prayag to establish that Gaudiya Math. And it was at that time that Srila Prabhupada took both first and second initiation. He was initiated in Prayag. And Srila Prabhupada would love to tell us how his Guru Maharaj said at the time, I will be happy to initiate him because he likes to hear. He does not go away. Srila Prabhupada, in his great humility, he charmed our hearts when he would explain how when he was with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada in Koshi, only a few followers stayed for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's lecture. The others were on pilgrimage to holy places. He said, my Guru Maharaj spoke for many hours, and he spoke very high philosophy. And much of it I really didn't understand, but I listened. And my Guru Maharaj really appreciated that I did not go away. I listened. So he was initiated at the very place where Lord Chaitanya instructed Rupa Goswami at Prayag. Srila Prabhupada at Radhakund, he was given the instruction of his Guru Maharaj. To print and distribute books. Srila Prabhupada began writing. His Guru Maharaj told the leaders of his press that whatever Abhay Charanaravinda, whatever Abhay writes, you should print it. And from that time, his godbrothers called him Kavi, or a great poet. And the connections are so beautiful because today this event is taking place at Radharas Bihari Temple in Juhu, Mumbai. Srila Prabhupada started his pharmacy in Mumbai. In those days, it was Bombay. And Srila Prabhupada, along with Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj, Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, two of his very dearmost godbrothers, the three of them established a Gaudiya Math in Bombay together. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur came to Bombay to install the deities there. And Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers told Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that Abhay Babu, he should be the president of this math because he is so good with people. He knows the philosophy so well. He's so excellent in leading kirtans. He's a leader. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he responded, let him do what he is doing now. In due course, he will accomplish everything. Such a prophecy that was. Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to his Guru Maharaj in Puri. He wrote that your leading disciples are sannyasis and brahmacharis who are giving every moment of their lives to spread your mission. I'm a grihasta with a job, wife, children. How can I best serve you? He got a letter back. That letter was dated just about 2 weeks before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur departed from the world. It was his last instruction to Srila Prabhupada directly. And it was identical to his first instruction. You should spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the English language
all over the world. Srila Prabhupada, he was reading the Bhagavad Gita with commentaries by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he came upon the verse, Vyavashayatmaka Bhutyareke Hakuru Nandana Bahushaka Hinantascha Bhutaya Vyavashayanam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose. Their aim is one. The minds of those who are irresolute is many branched. And in the commentary, it is said this means to make the order of one's spiritual master, the instructions of one's spiritual master, one's life and soul. That message of our beloved Acharya Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur reverberated so deeply within the core of the heart and the soul of our Srila Prabhupada. In the 1950s, he retired from his family life and moved to Vrindavan. And for several years, he prepared himself in his life mission at the Radha Damodar Temple. Such a wonderful arrangement. He was right beside the Samadhi of Srila Rupa Goswami. The very place where all the six Goswamis would regularly meet. The place where Srila Jiva Goswami, the successor of Rupa Goswami, kept all the books written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Srila Bhakti, and Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. The library of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas was there. Srila Prabhupada every day would bow down at the Samadhi temple of Srila Rupa Goswami and beg for his blessings, for his mercy. And just around the corner from the temple is the Pushpa Samadhi of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, also in the same complex where Srila Prabhupada's two little rooms were located. In 1922, in Calcutta, at Ultadungi Junction Road, on that Gaudiya Math, Srila Prabhupada received the instruction to take Mahaprabhu's teachings to the world. At Prayag, at the place where Lord Chaitanya entrusted his mission to take his teachings to the world, to Rupa Goswami, that's where Srila Prabhupada was initiated. And now in Vrindavan, by Srimati Radharani and Lord Sri Damodar's mercy, Srila Prabhupada was residing right at the Samadhi and Bhajan Kutira of Rupa Goswami, praying for his mercy every day, translating and writing his commentaries of the Srimad Bhagavatam, preparing his life for this mission. And when Srila Prabhupada was about to have his Srimad Bhagavatam first canto published, there was so much strife in India at the time. This was in 1965. Srila Prabhupada returned to Mumbai. Mumbai is the place where Srila Prabhupada got his final instruction from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Mumbai is the place Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur prophesied. He will do everything in due course. And where did Srila Prabhupada go in Mumbai in 1965? He went to Juhu Beach. Because he had previously met Sumati Murarji, a very saintly lady from the Pushti Marg, the lineage of Sripad Ballabhacharya. A great devotee of Krishna in the form of Srinathji. In fact, I believe she was the leading trustee of the Srinathji temple in Nathdwaram. She had so much respect for Srila Prabhupada as a genuine saint, as a pure devotee. At the time, Srila Prabhupada, when he first met Sumati Murarji, he had no funds. He was just living in these very, very simple little rooms in Radha Damodar Temple. He had no means for anything. I believe Sumati Murarji helped him to publish the third volume of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, because he ran out of credit. Everything he was doing was based on goodwill and people's faith in him, because he had no means. It was there in Juhu Beach in Bombay that Srila Prabhupada approached Sumati Murarji and pleaded with her to give him a free passage on one of her cargo ships to New York City. She loved Srila Prabhupada. She would have Srila Prabhupada give lectures at her office, at her complex, you know, to her employees, to her friends, to whatever family was around her. And she told Srila Prabhupada, you just stay here in Mumbai and you preach to all of us. But you're too old. Srila Prabhupada was then 69 years old. She said, I've been to these foreign countries. People will not listen to your message. And it's very cold, and it's very materialistic, and there are so many people doing so many sinful activities in these places. No, Swamiji, I will not. For Sumati Murarji, she considered giving Srila Prabhupada that ticket was practically like murdering him, because there was no chance that he would survive 38 days on a cargo ship, getting dropped off in New York City in America, where he really didn't know anybody and he didn't have anything. No, she refused. She refused in her compassion. She was truly a great lady. And Srila Prabhupada insisted, but she insisted. And ultimately, Srila Prabhupada sat on the steps of her office and made a vow that he wouldn't eat and he wouldn't go anywhere else until he got that ticket. It wasn't even a ticket. It was just a free passage on a cargo ship. You don't get tickets for a cargo ship. There's no passengers on a cargo ship. It's only the labor and the staff. And eventually, she surrendered. Now, when she was saying how dangerous it was and how impossible it was, Srila Prabhupada took her words very seriously because she was truly a well-wisher. And she had experience of these foreign lands that he didn't. Even though he took her so serious, Vyabhashayat Makabhutya, his guru's instruction was his life and soul. He was willing to live and die for it. There's that beautiful passage when Srila Prabhupada, he took a train, a mail train, which mail means, you know, where they deliver the mail. It takes several days, usually in those days about 3 days to reach Calcutta. I believe he first went to Vrindavan and then he went to Calcutta and he visited Mayapur to beg for the mercy of his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at his samadhi. He went to Shantipur, the home of Advaitacharya. How Srila Prabhupada just connected everything in such a special way. Because it was in Shantipur that Advaitacharya was feeling such compassion for the suffering and the illusion of people all over the world. That's where he prayed, he fasted, he cried for Krishna to appear, to establish the Sankirtan movement all over the world. At the very place where Advaita prayed for Lord Chaitanya to come, Srila Prabhupada visited that place and prayed to Advaitacharya for his mercy. Sri Advaita Prabhu, he cried for Lord Chaitanya to come to the world to make the world Krishna conscious, and now Srila Prabhupada is praying and crying to Advaita for his mercy to fulfill his mission. And when the pujari asked him, about what he was doing, Srila Prabhupada told him that my Guru Maharaj has given me an impossible mission to spread Lord Chaitanya's teachings all over the world. From there, Srila Prabhupada returned to Calcutta. And on Friday, the 13th of August, 1965, Srila Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta. And just recently, a couple of years ago, Srila Prabhupada's youngest son, Vrindavan Chandra Day, disappeared from the world. He was actually very, very close with several of our devotees from Radha Gopinath Temple. And sometimes I would go to his house in Calcutta when I was there. And recently, you know, he was telling me that he brought Srila Prabhupada to the Jaladuta. And he got on the ship with him because the ship was late in taking off. And he sat for a couple hours with his father. And when the horn blew, and he had to leave, he bowed to his father. His father, Srila Prabhupada, embraced him, and he left the ship. And I asked Vrindavan Chandraday, "What were you thinking?" He said, "I was sure I would never see him again. He will never survive. But I was so proud of my father." And in the Arabian Sea, Srila Prabhupada had his heart attacks and his seasickness. And finally he arrived in New York. And there was practically no response. He went to Butler, Pennsylvania for about a month, returned to New York. And all of his efforts appeared to be failures. He wanted to get a center, and it didn't work. He was trying to get funding from India, didn't work. He was trying to get God Brothers to come and help him, didn't work. His health was not good. He was going around to various bookstores, putting his books in, and he would go back to try to get, because they weren't buying. He was just, "Give me a commission if anyone buys it," and hardly anyone was buying them. And Srila Prabhupada would sometimes see the schedule of when the next Jaladutta was going back, because he had a round trip, actually. But somehow or other, he kept staying. And ultimately, on the Lower East Side of New York, 26 Second Avenue, just around the corner from where the Bhakti Center is today. And actually, ISKCON has that premise now again at 26 Second Avenue. Srila Prabhupada established his movement. Little storefront. Before he really had any committed followers, he incorporated ISKCON and established the seven principles of ISKCON in the corporation papers. And he also, he said that there were centers all over the world, international center for Krishna consciousness. And the few devotees who were there, along with Allen Ginsberg and Mukunda Maharaj and Janaki Devi, they couldn't understand how it's an international movement, international society for Krishna consciousness. There's just a few of us. We don't even have next month's rent. Srila Prabhupada had such faith. And gradually, San Francisco, Santa Fe, Los Angeles, London. And then in 1971, perhaps it was the end of 1970, Srila Prabhupada returned to India for the first time with a group of followers. And he established his first temple in India, in Calcutta, at Albert Road. And the first major preaching program Srila Prabhupada ever had was in Cross Maidan in Mumbai. And how special. The devotees in Mumbai at the time, His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj and His Grace Shamsundar Prabhu and Her Grace Malati Devi and Guru Das and Jamuna and all of Devi and all of these great devotees were there helping Srila Prabhupada in Mumbai. They had a little center right in the heart of Mumbai. They were just using someone's apartment. They had deities. And the devotees were looking for a property there. And inconceivable to all of them, Srila Prabhupada went back to Juhu Beach, which in those days seemed, it was like a whole nother town from Mumbai. It wasn't a part of Mumbai. There was a long stretch of just, you know, farmland and factories between the two. And in this swampy area of Juhu, just within about a 5-minute walk from where Srila Prabhupada was meeting with Sumati Maharaji, Srila Prabhupada saw a swampy tract of land, and he wanted that to be his center in India. And literally, all the devotees were bewildered. Why does he want to start a center there? Everywhere else in the world, the centers at that time were in the hearts of cities. In New York, the Lower East Side was right in the middle of New York. Frederick Street in San Francisco was right in the heart of Haight-Ashbury in the city. In London, Berry Street, that center was right a block from the British Museum in the heart of London. Even in Calcutta, Albert Road was in the heart of Calcutta. And here, you know, we can find something in the middle of Bombay. Why go to this distant, swampy land to start our center? They couldn't understand. But Srila Prabhupada had such a vision. And interestingly, where the land is just a short walk, minutes away from where Srila Prabhupada received the passage on the Jaladutta. It's where he received the funding to complete the third volume of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. And the deities of Sri Sri Radharas Bihari were originally brought, I believe, during the Cross Maidan Pandal. And they were kept in the apartment that devotees were allowed to use in downtown Bombay. And Srila Prabhupada, when he somehow got trying to purchase this piece of land in Juhu, Srila Prabhupada obviously sensed that the person who was selling him the land was going to cheat him, or at least try. Srila Prabhupada brought Radharas Bihari there. The neighbors who were living on the land, most of them were not favorable. It was infested with mosquitoes and rats and snakes. Srila Prabhupada had a little hut a little simple one-room hut built and brought Radha Ras Bihari to be there. He established the most beautiful deities that would later attract the entire world. He established them in this little hut with a tin roof. And just a few devotees were taking care of them, you know, cooking with cow dung and wood. And yes, you know, they cheated Srila Prabhupada. They just wanted his down payment, and then they wanted to evict him. That was the plan. And mafia and police and everyone were trying to get Srila Prabhupada out of there. And the devotees were getting death threats. Editor of newspapers, mayors, chief of police, they were all trying to get the devotees off that land. Singularly, Srila Prabhupada, I gave my word to Radha Ras Bihari, we will build a beautiful temple for them here. I will never go back on my word. Such faith. In that place. And His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, in his book that just came out last year, he documents like nobody else could ever or will ever, the glorious love and surrender of Srila Prabhupada and those who assisted him and how that temple was built. Srila Prabhupada at that time said, someday this will be part of the heart of Bombay, which it is today. Shishi Radha Ras Bihari Temple. Srila Prabhupada struggled more for this project than any other project of an ISKCON. He spent more of the money of our whole society on this project than any other project in his lifetime, physical lifetime. He put among his best devotees to be there at a time when it seemed impossible. And now Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple. It's the most popular temple in all of Mumbai, of any type of temple. It's Srila Prabhupada's office. And, you know, year after, for many years, it was the place where the most amount of books were distributed in the entire world with the help of, with the inspiration and leadership of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj and His Grace Bhima Prabhu, His Grace Devakinandan Prabhu. You know, they distributed millions of books from there. Janmashtami. Hundreds and thousands of people are coming. Every day, thousands of people are coming. January 26th is the day that India declared independence. Freedom. It is the Republic Day. And 2022 is the 100th anniversary of when Srila Prabhupada was given the instruction to establish the highest freedom, the eternal nature of the soul. Krishna's love, Lord Chaitanya's mercy to the world. So for many of us, January 26th is an auspicious day because it's a public holiday and everything's closed, so we have an opportunity to come together. But the more we examine the depth of the meaning of the freedom and the independence that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and the great significance of Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari Temple in Juhu as so much a part of the mission that Srila Prabhupada established. It is a day to celebrate. And I am truly honored and truly grateful to be called upon every year to share my heart and my thoughts and my appreciation to all of you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari ki jai. Sri Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Thank you very much.